This is Dr. Benny Tate, and I would like to thank you for tuning in to this week's message at Rock Springs Church. Wherever you are, I hope that this message encourages you and helps you grow in your walk with God. Here's this week's message from Rock Springs Church.
I want you to take your Bible, your iPad, your iPhone, whatever you have. If you don't have any, it's right here. This is what the Bible says. It says, almost all things are by the law purged with blood. Now look here. And without the shedding of blood, there is no remission. Without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness. Do you realize, folks, and I'm going to pray. Do you realize 50% of the people that are in mental institutions today, the experts tell us, could get up out of that mental institution, walk out, and live a normal life if they knew one thing, if they knew they had been forgiven. If they knew they had been forgiven. Without the shedding of blood, there is no remission. There is no forgiveness. I want to take a few moments and I want to talk to you about why we need the blood of Jesus. Why we need the blood of Jesus. I heard a preacher preach just a few nights ago, and he said just about everybody I quote is already passed. And folks, I can relate. Just about everybody I quote is already passed. They've already graduated. They've already gone on to heaven. One of my heroes was a man named Dr. Billy Graham. And Dr. Billy Graham was going into a various city to do a crusade. He was meeting with the leaders of that city before the crusade. And he began to tell them what we need to do. What we need to do. I think he would have known something about it. Amen. This is what we need to do. And one gentleman spoke up. And he said, Dr. Graham, if we do this crusade the way you want us to do this crusade, it will take evangelism back 100 years. And Dr. Graham said, I don't want to take evangelism back 100 years. I want to take evangelism back 2,000 years. I want to take evangelism back to the cross of Jesus Christ. I want to take evangelism back to the cross of Jesus Christ. You see, Pastor Benny, even in 2019, you're going to preach that slaughterhouse religion? Yes, I am. I'm going to preach that slaughterhouse religion till God takes me to heaven. I'm going to preach that slaughterhouse religion because I want you to know something. Without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sins. You can join a church. You can get baptized till you know the tadpoles on a first name basis. But until you've been washed in the blood of Jesus Christ, you're on your way to hell. The only thing that's going to take every one of us to heaven is the shed blood of Christ. As good a preacher as the great apostle Paul was, this is what he said in 1 Corinthians 1 and 17. He said, for Christ sent me not to baptize. For Christ sent me not to baptize, but to preach the gospel, not with wisdom of words, lest the cross of Christ should be made of none effect. And look what verse 18 says. For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness. Those that are on their way to hell, it seems foolishness. But the Bible says, but unto us which are saved, it is the power of God. Because I want you to know something. The cross shows us three things. First of all, the cross shows us the depth of man's sin. The cross shows us the depth of man's sin. Folks, the Bible says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. That little baby that you think's an angel, as its legs get longer, its wings will get shorter. That little baby's not an angel. That little baby's got a sin nature. It's got an Adamic nature. It's going to eventually pitch a fit. It got that nature from its mama. We're all sinners. But look what Isaiah 53 and 5 says. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. And with his stripes we are healed. He was wounded for our transgressions. Bruised for our iniquities. See, when I look at the cross, I see the depths of my sin. See, it wasn't the Romans or the Jews. It was my sin. I remember a college was putting on a play, and in scene one, it was a father and mother, and they were portraying, they were in Jerusalem, Israel. It was a father and mother and a little boy, and the mother and father were having dialogue, and she said to the father, she said, the Roman government is wanting people to build crosses. I wish you'd quit building cabinets. And I wish you'd build some crosses because they're paying real good money. I sure wish you'd build some crosses. And then the curtain comes down and we go to scene two. And it's scene two, the little boy comes up crying. He's crying to his mom and daddy. And he said these words. He said, Daddy, we made the cross that they crucified Jesus on. He said, no, son. There were thousands of crosses made. We didn't make the cross. He said, oh, Daddy, I was down at Jerusalem. I was down at the marketplace. And Jesus was carrying the cross. And he fell right in front of me. And he said, Daddy, I know it was our cross. Because when we made that cross, I slipped out into the room. I slipped out into your shop. And Daddy, I wrote my name on the cross. And when I saw Jesus fall, I looked at that cross and I saw my name. I want you to know something, folks. My name was on the cross. Your name was on the cross. Every one of our name was on the cross. Every one of our names was on the cross. And I'll tell you what the cross shows us. It shows us the depth of man's sin. But I'll tell you something else. The cross shows me the overwhelming love of God. The overwhelming love of God. Let me tell you something. Sometimes you might be having a pity party. The thing about a pity party is nobody comes to your party and nobody brings a gift, amen? Sometimes you might be having a pity party and you think, nobody loves me. Does even God love me? Let me tell you something, folks. If you ever doubt God's love again, you take a look at the cross. If you ever doubt that God loved you, if you ever doubt that Jesus Christ loves you, you take a look at the cross, because you don't do what God did. You don't do what Jesus did unless you love humanity. See, when I see the cross, I see the depth of man's sin. I see the overwhelming love of God. But there's a third thing I see. I see the only way of salvation. The only way of salvation. Jesus said in John 14 and 6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. I've said it many times, folks. Jesus is not a good way. He's not a better way. He's not the best way. He's the only way to heaven. He's the only way to heaven. Friend, you must put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ. Paul said, I know in whom I have believed. Not in what or not in which, but in a person. I'm not trying to make a Methodist out of you or a Baptist out of you or Pentecostal or Presbyterian. What I'm trying to get you to do is have a relationship with God through Jesus Christ. Now here's what I want to say. In real practical terms, When I was preparing this message, the Lord blessed me because I really did a evaluation in my own heart. See, folks, I believe if we really understood the blood, I believe if we really understood the blood, we'd leave here different people. I believe if we really understood it. But the problem with most of us, folks, we've already got our mind on what's going to happen after 12 o'clock. Most of us have already got our mind on lunch. We've already got our mind on that stupid football game this afternoon. 22 men fighting over a pigskin when they all could afford to buy their own. But when you really understand the blood, let me tell you what the blood does. First of all, the blood redeems. The blood redeems. I had this thought this week, I just lay this groundwork. I had this thought. While Jesus was here, there was 250 million people upon the earth. 50 million of them were slaves to the Roman government. They were Jews. They were slaves to the Roman government. It was interesting to me, Jesus never addressed that. Yes or no? Jesus never addressed that. Because Jesus was more interested in the hearts of individuals. See, folks, if we're not awful careful, even in the church, we'll get to majoring on the minor. We'll get to majoring. I mean, let me tell you something. Don't let your cause become your cross. Don't let your cause become your cross. We need to stick with the cross. What changes people's lives is Jesus Christ. You say, I want to see society change. When individuals change, society will change. Now, these people were in bondage. If they got enough money, they could buy out of that bondage. But 1 Peter 1, 18 and 19 says this, for as much as you know, you were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ as a lamb without blemish and without spot. What does the blood of Christ do? It redeems us, folks. It buys us back. See, folks, let me tell you something. You were wonderfully and gloriously created by God. You were wonderfully and gloriously created by God. You were made in the image of God. Let me tell you something. We went astray. And you know what God did? Through the cross of Jesus Christ, He redeemed us and bought us back. Let me tell you what the cross does. It redeems us. The cross bought us back. But let me tell you the second thing that the cross does. It brings us near. It brings us near. You know what I believe? I believe without prayer, we don't have a prayer. I believe without prayer, we don't have a prayer. And did you ever think about this? Without the blood of Jesus Christ, we couldn't pray. You say, what are you talking about? Well, look what the Bible says. For now in Christ Jesus, ye who sometimes were far off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. We were far off, but we were made nigh by the blood of Jesus. Let me explain. Under the law, only the high priest could enter into the presence of God. Only the high priest. So there would have been no hope for us. But look what Revelation chapter 1, verse 5 and 6 says. And from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness and the first begotten of the dead and the prince of the kings of the earth, unto him that loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood. Now look what the Bible says. And he's made us kings and priests. What's that saying, ladies and gentlemen? Because you've been washed in the blood, you're a priest. And you can enter into the presence of God. You don't need anybody to pray for you. If you've been washed in the blood of Jesus Christ, you can pray for yourself. You can talk to God. Let me tell you something. The blood of Jesus Christ redeems, but the blood of Jesus Christ brings us near. Let me tell you the third thing the blood of Jesus Christ does. It justifies. Look what Romans 5 and 9 says. Being more, much more than being now justified by his blood. What does justified mean? It means just as if you'd never sinned. It means just as if you'd never sinned. What it means when you come to know Christ and God looks on you, he doesn't see your sin. He sees the blood of Jesus. And it's just as if you've never sinned. That is to say, you don't have to live with guilt. You don't have to live with condemnation because you've been justified. You say, Pastor Benny, but I've gone through bad relationships. It doesn't matter. God doesn't see the relationship. He sees the blood of Jesus Christ. And you're justified. There was a man in England who put a Rolls Royce on a boat and went across to the continent for the holiday. While he was driving around Europe, something happened to the motor of his car. He cabled Rolls Royce back in England and said, I'm having trouble with my car. What do you suggest I do? Rolls Royce flew a mechanic over. The mechanic repaired the car and flew back to England. The guy kept enjoying his holiday. As you can imagine, the fellow was wondering, how much is this going to cost me? So when he gets back to England, he wrote the people a letter and asked how much he owed them. He received a letter from the office that read, Dear sir, there's no record anywhere in our files that anything ever went wrong with a Rolls Royce. You know what that is, ladies and gentlemen? That's justification. Let me tell you something else. The blood of Jesus Christ heals. The blood of Jesus Christ heals. See, Pastor, you believe God can heal? I believe unequivocally God can heal. I believe God can heal physically. I believe God can heal emotionally. I believe God can heal mentally. Do you realize, folks, that for every one person that's under a doctor's care for physical problems, there are three people under a doctor's care for emotional problems? I want to ask you something. Since it's just us, if there's anybody here other than us, raise your hand. Since it's just us, how many of you have a deep regret in your life? Yeah. I appreciate you honest people who raised your hands. I could have raised both. Sure we do. But you know, there's a verse that really blessed me. I want to share it with you. The verse is in Hebrews chapter 9. Look what it says. Just think how much more the blood of Christ will purify your consciences from sinful deeds. What does that mean, Brother Benny? It means those deeds that we've done in the past, that the blood of Jesus Christ will purify our conscience. So we don't have to deal with the guilt and shame and remorse of that. Praise God, folks, for the blood of Jesus. Let me tell you two more things and I'm done. There's a fifth thing that the blood of Jesus does. The blood of Jesus cleanses. Look what 1 John 1 and 7 says. But if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ cleanseth from all sin. Notice, folks, it didn't say has cleansed. It says it cleanseth from all sin. See, what are you saying, Brother Benny? I'm saying, folks, even after you become a Christian, you say, Pastor Benny, I've messed up. Well, I want you to know the blood of Jesus Christ will continue to cleanse sin. The blood of Jesus Christ will continue to cleanse sin. You know, I said to Barbara, I said, Barbara, I've got some okra in the freezer that you need to cook. We've got some okra you need to fry up. My philosophy is if you fry it, I'll try it. Amen? I mean, I fry up. And she said, no, I don't know about that okra. I said, Barbara, I grew that okra. No. She said, I don't know about that okra. That okra's been in that freezer, Benny, a long time. I don't know about that okra. I said, that okra's okay. She said, I'm scared of that okra. But I grew that okra in my garden. That okra. And I thought, well, I could do what most people do after things are bad and ruined, maybe ruined. I could give it to the church. Did you ever go to the grocery store and you've got to use this by an expiration date? You wonder if that medicine is still potent. Folks, I'm grateful that the blood of Jesus Christ will never lose its power. Will never lose its power. And let me give you one more, folks, and I'm done. The blood of Jesus gives us victory and power over Satan. The blood of Jesus gives us power over Satan. You said, Pastor Benny, I just can't have victory. No. The devil's no match for the blood. I mean, if he could get under the blood, he'd be a saved devil. Amen? He's no match for the blood of Jesus. Look what the Bible says in Revelation 12 and 11. How many of us need to overcome? All of us. And they overcame him. How can we overcome, Pastor? By the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony, and they love not their lives unto death. Let me tell you, Saturday morning, I was with Savannah Abigail. And the last thing I did, I prayed, and I just claimed the blood of Jesus over Savannah. You ought to claim the blood of Jesus over your family. You ought to claim the blood of Jesus over your family. You ought to claim the blood of Jesus over your habits. You ought to claim the blood of Jesus over your life. Folks, because let me tell you something. It's the blood of Jesus that gives us power over Satan. It's the blood of Jesus that gives us power over Satan. They said on one occasion, Napoleon had conquered most of the countries in Europe. And Napoleon was standing around a table. On the map, England's always in red. And Napoleon was standing around his warlords, and he tugged something and he pointed to that red spot, which was England on the map. And Napoleon said these words, true story. He said, if it wasn't for that red spot, I could have conquered the world. You know what Satan said? If it wasn't for that red spot, if it wasn't for that red spot, if it wasn't for that hill called Calvary, if it wasn't for the blood of Jesus Christ, I could have conquered the world. Friend, we can have victory because of the blood of Jesus. Let me tell you a couple stories. I'm almost done. Well, I've got plenty of time, but I'm almost done. I read this story about Martin Luther. Bless poor Martin's heart. Martin Luther said he had a dream. And he said perhaps it was a nightmare. And Martin Luther said, in my dream, Satan came to the foot of my bed. And he said, Satan was standing at the foot of my bed, and he was holding a scroll. And he said, Satan was pulling down that scroll. And he said, on that scroll were all the sins I had done. And he said, let me tell you something. He said, he had the details. He had the time. He had the place. I mean, he had description. He kept pulling it. And Martin Luther said, I said, I'm guilty. There's no hope for me. And he said, then the Lord whispered in my ear, Martin, tell him to pull the scroll all the way down. to pull the scroll all the way down. And he said, in the name of Jesus, pull the scroll all the way down. And he said, when the devil pulled the scroll all the way down, these words were written. The entire sin account of Martin Luther has been paid in full by the blood of Jesus Christ. Thank God for the blood of Christ. Thank God that we've been forgiven. Thank God, folks, I'm not on my way to hell. I'm on my way to heaven. Because of Christ's blood and what he's done for me. Amy Carmichael, and I close with this story. I'm done. Amy Carmichael, this precious lady. You know, we talk sometime about what we do for God. This precious lady right here served as a missionary to India for 55 years. And listen, no furloughs. 55 years in India, no furloughs. She said, when I was born, she said, I had the brownest eyes. And she said, I prayed. I asked God. I said, God, give me blue eyes. I wanted to have blue eyes so much. I didn't want brown eyes. And I kept praying, God, give me blue eyes. She said, God never did. Let me say this, folks. And I shared this in one of the services. Let me share this. You're wonderfully and gloriously created by God. You're a child of the Most High God. Don't you get your self-esteem in your look or your size. No, no, there's something far more important than that. It's what's on the inside. You're a child of God. Why, you're beautiful to him. Why, if he had a refrigerator, your picture would be on it. He thinks you're so special. Just know who you are in Christ. Then you won't have to try to be somebody else. Just take your identity in Jesus Christ. You don't have to look a certain way. Don't try to fit in. I believe this, folks. I believe this. If I had my way, I'd preach like a David Jeremiah or Charles Stanley. But he's already got those guys. I mean, he's got some guys out there that are willing to tell it. Apparently, he wanted to create one who would yell it. Amen? Just be you. You're beautiful in God's eyes. He made you beautiful. God makes all things beautiful in his time. All things. You're special to God. Take your identity in who you are in Jesus Christ. You're a child of God. She said, I prayed, but it never happened. She said, I went to India, and I'm almost done, folks. She said, I went to India, and I realized that they were offering up little girls into prostitution. They were offering up little girls into prostitution at the Hindu temple. And the lifespan of these little girls, the life expectancy was 12 years old. Because they'd offer them up to Hindu gods to be prostituted out. And she said, I got to do something about it. So she'd put a turban on her head. And she'd go up to the temple. And she'd look like one of the Hindus with that on her head and the dark skin. And she'd rescue those little girls out of that prostitution and save their lives. 55 years. She said, now I understand why God never did give me blue eyes. If I'd had those blue eyes, they would have known I wasn't Hindu. But she said, I rescued many of those little girls. And she said, one of them was 8 or 9 years old. And she said, one day we were in school and it was one of them I rescued. I was at my desk and she walked up to my desk and she said, I have come. And she said, I looked at that little girl. And she stood there and she said, I have come. And she said, I said to her, darling, that's wonderful. Why have you come? And she said, I've come
just to love you. That's why Jesus came, just to love us. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. That old boy at the gym said, I don't know why preachers don't preach more about the blood of Jesus. Because he said, Brother Benny, it's the most encouraging thing I've ever heard. It's the most encouraging thing I've ever heard. Folks, it's the most encouraging thing I've ever heard. That no matter what you've done, sir, no matter what you've done, ma'am, no matter what you've done, ma'am, no matter what you've done, no matter what I've done, is the blood of Jesus Christ will wash my sins away. He didn't come to rub my sins in. He came to rub my sins out. What will wash away my sins? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What will make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. There is a fountain filled with blood drawn from Emmanuel's veins. Sinners plunge beneath that flood, lose all their guilty stain. Come now and let us reason together. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. Thank God, ladies and gentlemen, for the blood of Jesus Christ.
Friend, I trust the message today has spoken to your heart. And if you've never accepted Christ as your personal Savior, I want to challenge you to do that today. It's the greatest decision you'll ever make. And I've often said, it's as simple as ABC. A stands for acknowledge. You've got to acknowledge that you're a sinner. B stands for believe. You've got to believe that Christ and His blood was shed on the cross for your sin. And then C, you simply must confess your sins to Him. I want to encourage you right now to repeat a simple prayer with me. I'll pray the prayer, you repeat it with me if you'd like to accept Christ as your personal Savior. Lord Jesus, I'm a sinner. But God, I'm sorry for my sin. I'm so sorry, I want to change. I believe that you died for my sin, and I confess my sin to you right now. Come into my heart, Lord, and forgive me of all my sin. Now thank you, Lord, for forgiving me. Thank you for coming in to my life. Amen. Friend, congratulations on the greatest decision that you'll ever make. And I want you to know, this decision is not based on how you feel right now, because God's not a feeling. He's a fact. This decision is based on the fact that you have done what God's Word says you must do to have eternal life. So congratulations on the greatest decision you'll ever make, and thank you for being with us today. God bless you, and we'll see you soon.